powerful weapon in battle. I choose to agree with the Word of God. And I choose to disagree with any thoughts, conditions, or circumstances that are contrary to your Word. My Bible is alive. Turn to somebody and give them a high five. Amen. Hallelujah. My Bible is alive. Glory to God. Woo, I like that song. To God be the glory. Amen. For the things He hath done. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like that scripture. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Amen. How many feel like you can run through a troop today? Leap over a wall. A few of you looking at me like I just barely got here. Don't talk about running or leaping. I feel like I can run and I can leap because the Holy Spirit is here. Now I understand why in that womb that baby leaped, because of the presence of another that's greater. You know, when Jesus comes into your midst, He'll cause you to leap. Amen. He'll cause you to run, cause you to go to another level. And that's where we want to be. We want to be in another level with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to just help us understand. Last week and the week before, I was trying to help people understand a little bit about the mark of lordship and the mark of the beast. And I might have misled a few of you, and I don't want to do that. So I want to just make sure that you understand what I was trying to say. That the mark of the beast in the time of tribulation will be awarded to those who choose to follow the Antichrist. You're aware of that, right? In Revelation chapter, I believe it's 13. And when you take that mark, you identify yourself with Him and His kingdom. And that's not a good thing to do. So if you get to the tribulation and they offer that to you, don't do it, because if you do, there's no turning back. Now look at somebody and say, you can't go back. You can't erase the mark. All right. So I just want you to understand that. But we believe in our eschatology, we believe that there is a rapture of the church. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 4. And that means those of us that are worshiping and serving Jesus take the mark of lordship. We are what? Going to be caught away with the Lord. And then you all do what you want with this planet until Jesus and we come back. Then we'll take care of things. Amen? So I just wanted to kind of clarify that so people don't get misunderstood in regards to what I was trying to share. You know, sometimes I get so excited I can't give you all the details. You know, and then folk ask me, they'll say, well, what about this? I said, well, I didn't really mention that, but hey, let me tie that together. You got a Bible this morning? How many don't even need a Bible because we got the screens? There's rumors floating around the church. You don't have to bring a Bible to church on the North Coast anymore because they got it up on the screens. Well, what happens? What happens if the screens aren't functioning and you don't have your Bible with you? Look at somebody and ask them, you got your Bible with you? Can I have that clicker thing? I don't know what happened to it, but I thought, oh, here it is, down here. All right, praise God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32 is where we're going to begin. You can hold your finger there. We'll get to it in just a minute. But I got exciting news for all of us. How many are wondering about Spring Seed Sunday last week? Anybody wondering about how it went? All right, 12 of you. I'll tell you, I'll meet with you after church over there in the corner. No sense in taking up the time for everybody else. So I guess I'll just skip that part. But anyway, has God ever promised you something that you still have not yet received in your life? Is there anybody here that can say, you know, I believe God's promised me something, but I still don't have it? I've been looking around for it. I've been expecting it and waiting on it, but it hasn't yet come. Well, that's okay, because you're in the right place and you're with the right company. Because there's a lot of us that have not yet received what we have been believing God for and also what God has promised us. So what do you do in the in-between time? What do you do? Like, for example, planting your spring seed last week and you're believing God for a breakthrough. But all of a sudden, the breakthrough isn't coming. It's more like a breakdown. I mean, you think, God, what did you do to me? What happened here? Although I've already heard reports of people saying, Pastor, you know, things are going good. I'm telling you, since I planted, things have already increased. I'm seeing things change. And we've been laying hands on every request every day, believing God for your breakthrough. But here's something that we've got to learn. Go back to Hebrews chapter 6. You're in chapter 10. But go to chapter 6 and look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. I want to introduce to you today my two best friends in the world. Are you ready? Verse 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them through faith and patience will inherit the promises of God. Let me read it in the Amplified Bible. Verse 12. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by the leaning of their entire personality on God in Christ, and absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom and goodness, and by patience, of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises of God. In other words, my two best friends in life are faith and patience. Without faith and patience, ladies and gentlemen, there's no possible way I'm going to inherit the promise. So therefore, if there's something that God has promised me that hasn't yet come to pass, some things that are still on their way to me, the only way that I can get them to me is to hook up with my two best friends, faith and patience. Because Hebrews 6 and 12 says that through those two entities, through those two qualities, that's how those of old would inherit all that God had said to them. So now I need to realize that if it's worked for somebody else, if it's worked for those in before me, then I ought to do the very same thing. And I've got to be careful not to become slothful or a sluggard or disinterested in what God has told me. You know, a lot of people, when time begins to evolve between the promise and the actualization of that promise, they become disinterested or they turn their attention away from what God originally said. But there were a couple of guys in the Bible that didn't do that, Joshua and Caleb. They would not defer to the conditions and circumstances around them. They kept their eyes on the prize. And they did so, how? Through faith and through patience. It's the two best friends in the entire Christian life than when it comes to experiencing the promises of God. And ladies and gentlemen, today we are the most impatient generation that ever lived on this earth. I remember when computers became, you know, just kind of a household word, and I think it was a 286 or something. I can't remember the terminology. But it was so slow. I mean, but we thought it was fast. But then the 386 came out, and we thought, man, this thing is a piece of junk, you know? And then it went to the 486, and I don't even know what's out now. What is it called now? Well, whatever. It's just quick. But you know what? We found out it's not quick enough. It's not fast enough. We as a generation really don't know what patience is all about. Let me just give you a definition of faith. I think this is a powerful definition. I want to introduce you to one of my friends this morning. His name is Faith. Here it is. It takes hold of whatever God says. He begins to thank God for what God said. And then he begins to rejoice over what God said. And then he begins to declare what God said. That's what faith does. And so when you receive the promise, you begin to take hold of what God has spoken to you and begin to thank God for it and begin to rejoice over it and begin to declare it to everybody about what God is going to do in your life. But yet there's another friend, and his name is patience. Patience is this. It's that unswerving consistency. Unswerving constancy or consistent endurance. See, we have to redefine the word patience in our mind, because we often think of patience as waiting for the bus on the corner, waiting for it to show up and frustrated until it gets there, especially if it's late. That's not the patience we're talking about, Bible-defined patience. We're talking about that which is consistent, that which is constant, that which never changes. I am patiently enduring. In other words, my mind has been made up. I'm declaring it. I'm expecting it. I'm believing it. You can't alter my position. You can't change my thoughts. I'm not going to get disinterested. I'm not going to give up. I'm not letting circumstances become the Lord of my life. I have great patience. So you see, these are the two friends that you and I have got to employ in our life. Patience is not simply the ability to bear up under circumstances contrary to the promise, but it's the ability to turn those circumstances and conditions into greatness and glory. Someone said this, if you don't like your circumstances, change them. You see, we often feel like we're victims of our circumstances, but that's not the case. You and I are not victims of the circumstance. You and I can change our circumstances. How do we do that? Through the Word of God. How do we do that? Through faith and patience. We are not going to be victimized today. Everybody's crying out that I'm victimized. I'm a victim of my parents' abuse. I'm a victim of my ex-husband. I'm a victim of, you know, the people at work. I'm a victim of this. I'm a victim of that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you adopt a victim mentality, you will always become a person under somebody else's rule. But you and I have got to rise up today. We've got to rise up and say, wait a minute, I've got a promise from God. I've got a word from God. And I've got faith and patience to stand with me. And any two or three agree, touching anything, then it shall be done. Faith, do you agree? Amen. How about you, patience? Do you agree? Amen. I only need one more, and that's me. Do I agree? Amen. Well, I got my two or three touching anything, and I know that it shall be done. See, we've got to have a resolve when we approach the promises of God. We can't just hold up to faith. We just can't hold on to circumstance to somehow bring it together. We've got to become aggressive. Now, when you do that, let me warn you. And I think this is a good way to offer this warning this morning. And that is, the greatest oak was once a little nut who held his ground. There's a mighty oak in your promise. But you're going to have to hold your ground, even if you are a little nut. And everybody's going to look at you like, baby, you are nuts for believing that God is going to do that. Say, that's all right. There's a mighty oak inside this promise of God, and I'm going to hold my ground. Ain't no squirrel going to gobble me up. I'm planted. I'm not moved. I have a vision of where I'm going to go and what I'm going to be. I can hardly wait until birds begin to build their nests in my branches. And I can hardly wait to believe and see the shade that I'm going to bring forth to comfort those that will walk up underneath my mighty expanse. I can't hardly wait to see the strength of my trunk and the depth of my roots. Yeah, say, yeah, but you're just a little nut right now. Well, that's all right. I might be a little nut, but I'm on my way to becoming a mighty oak. Amen? Ask somebody this morning, are you just a little nut? No, don't do that. Don't do that. What did they say? Hebrews chapter 10, we're there now. Your finger has been there. Verse 32, let me read there. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, yet you endured a great fight of afflictions. You know, many say Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I really don't know, but I'll just say the writer of Hebrews said this. Call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. You know, the moment that you're born again, hell is released toward your life. The moment you were born again, the moment light came to you, there were afflictions that were released towards you. And they continue to be released. You know why? Because it is the goal and the stratagem of hell to separate us from faith in Christ. To separate us from faith in Christ. So the only thing the devil knows how to do, the only recourse that he has, is to send forth affliction. Trouble, difficulty. Why? So he can get you to give up on your faith in Jesus Christ. That's why you've got to be committed. I mean, you've got to be committed when everything is going well. And you've got to be committed when nobody's fighting you and nobody's calling you a little nut. I mean, you've got to be committed. So when the fight does come, You can remember the victory. How many remember when you stood your ground at some point as a Christian that God came through for you and you got the victory? Can I see your hand? You went through some trouble. Yeah. Thurman, you went through some trouble. Carmen, you went through some trouble. But the Bible tells us that they brought them through all their afflictions, right? Got them a healing. See, when you are in a condition of struggle, the Bible says you got to recall, bring to remembrance the former times that you endured and you made it. So you've got to look at the devil and say, look, I made it before and I'm going to make it again. You're not about to take this old bird out. No. I'm getting wiser as I get older. I know that my God will not forsake me and never leave me, that will be with me always, even to the end of the age. I know that my God will supply all my needs. I know that my God is for me and not against me. You see, you have to recall to mind those former things. He goes on to say, verse 33, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them and were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Great recompense of reward. You see, one thing the devil has forgot, and I think we sometimes omit, if you do it to the least of these, my brethren, Matthew 25 says, you've done it unto me. Now, Jesus was teaching about when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. When I was sick, you helped me. And the disciples were saying, Lord, when did we see you sick? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you naked? God, we don't understand this. He said, no, it's when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. How many know that scripture? You know that's a principle. So when you do blessing, when you bless somebody in the name of the Lord, you bless somebody, you show compassion to them, it's as though you were doing it to Jesus himself. Now watch this. The devil's got to understand something, that when he comes to afflict you, or afflict your family, or afflict your marriage, or afflict your finances, or afflict your health, the Bible says if he's done it to the least of these, my brethren, he's done it unto me. Devil, I just want you to know you barked up the wrong oak tree. I might be a little nut, but he's the mighty oak, hallelujah, and he's the one that's going to stand forever. So when the devil comes to attack you, he's actually putting his hand on Jesus. Come on. Woo! I like that. I like that. And verse 33 in that text of Hebrews 10 talks about being a spectacle. And that word spectacle actually means theater. That you are placed on a stage for all to observe. For all to watch as the devil tears you up. That's where that word comes from. A spectacle. Sort of like those in the past in Rome, where the thousands would gather. And their Christians would be thrown into the arena. And lions, hungry, would be released toward their bodies. And these lions would come and literally tear them from limb to limb. Mothers would watch their children devoured. Husbands would watch their wives murdered, torn apart before their eyes. But there's something that history tells us about this incident of which the apostle is trying to teach us today, is that when the devil makes a spectacle of you, come on, when he puts you in an arena, yeah, And everybody's watching and expecting you to be torn limb from limb. Here's what the history books say about those powerful Christians during the Roman persecution. It was said that you could hear those believers standing in the middle of that arena, lifting up their voices and began to sing praises unto God and lifted up hands and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, when the devil places you on a stage, when he makes a spectacle out of you, it is time for you to begin to open up your mouth and begin to praise him and give him glory and begin to thank God for what you know that he's going to do. In other words, it's showtime. Yeah. Come on, look at somebody and say, it's showtime. Hallelujah. I'm not on a stage for nothing. Devil put me up on this stage. It's not exactly where I'd want to be, but since I'm here, let me give you a little two-shoe. Let me give you a little boogie down time there, devil. Let me sing a song of praise. Huh? Come on, come on. You know what I'm talking about? You can't stand there and just take it. You can't stand there and just believe it. You got to lift up your voice and shout that God be for me. Who can be against me? Come on, somebody give him a praise in here. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. No, 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 no. One thing the devil's forgot. When you touch me, you touch Jesus. You put your hand on my family, you barked into the kingdom of God. When you put your sickness or your disease upon one of my grandbabies, no, 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 no. You have to understand something. You've touched the very heart of the kingdom of God. And through faith and patience, I will inherit the promises of God. Where he said, by his stripes I have been made whole. I don't care if my body is racked with pain. I don't care if my mind is confused. I don't care if my pocketbook is empty. I don't care how many lions are in the arena. I don't care how many around me went down. I don't care how much blood and guts is everywhere. I know one thing. My Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. My Redeemer liveth. I think you ought to just lift your hands with me and give him some glory and praise. That my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. He'll never leave me, never forsake me. My God, I am in his hand. Woo. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about the light. The light. I'm going to tell you about things of the night. They don't like the light. They scatter when the light is shown. The Bible says he's shown the light in our hearts. When I began to declare the word through my feeble pain and sick body, when I declare the word through my empty pocketbook and bills stacked as high as the kitchen table, when I began to declare the word, it's sort of like when I was in Florida at Bible college. We lived in Lakeland, Florida. Do you remember? You always had to turn the light on in the bathroom first, wait a minute, then go in. You don't want to walk right in and then turn the light on. There's this reason for that. The reason for that is because they're big old palmetto bugs. They're big roaches that fly. They come out when the light's out. But when you reach around and you turn them on, all of a sudden the light comes and they go scurrying back to their hiding place. I know they're there, but I can't see them, so it's all right. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you got to turn the light on. Let the roach scurry back to where he came from. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil, you know the devil's there. You might not be able to see him, but you know he's there. But I got the light on, baby, and you can't do anything about it. I remember one time we came up here. I told this story before, and T and I came up here during Bible college. We left our house for 6 weeks. We didn't know anything about Florida. We just knew that you lock the door when you leave. But we forgot you didn't leave the air conditioning on. Because if you don't, it's humid, it's hot, and things grow dark. And we got back into that house after 6 weeks, and it was covered with mold. walls, ceiling, our tables, our everywhere. We walked away, oh my gosh, what happened to this house? But that wasn't the worst of it. When we opened the door, the ceiling, I kid you not, was covered inch by inch with roaches. There wasn't one white spot on the ceiling. We opened the door. We said, ha, ha, the devil's here. I swear, I tell you the truth, man. We walked in, they started flying everywhere. I said, there's demons in this house. There's demons. Tina, cast out the demons. They were on the ceiling, on the walls, up in the cupboards, up in our food, and our house was full of mold. And we said, oh, wow. But when we walked in, when I walked in that situation, when I walked in to that very bleak, undesirable situation. Have you ever been into a bleak and undesirable situation? See, I'm talking about real living. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and your whole life is like I just described. They're not real roaches, but they might as well be. It's not mold, but it might as well be. But when we walked into that house, they began to fly and scurry about. And I said, okay, give me my can of Raid. And I started spraying all over the house. They were falling and flying and hitting me in the head. And we were sweeping them out the door. What choice you got? It's my home.
Come on. Come on.
Where else am I going to live? Where else am I going to sleep? That's my bed. My clothes are in there. This is where I live. This is where my baby. I raise my babies. Where? What am I going to do? Just close? Give up? Walk away? Where am I going to sleep? No, no. See, sometime when the devil is trying to take your house and your belongings and your family, you've got to walk into the middle of it and you've got to stand your ground. Get your can of Raid out. Get your can of Word out. Get your can of Word. Start sweeping the devil out and begin to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Now you say, Pastor, you're just like a little nut. Yeah, but I'm on my way to becoming a mighty oak tree. Come on, give him some praise in here. Come on, give him some praise. Hey, I'm a mighty oak tree. I'm holding my ground. Verse 34 and 35, I have to realize something in Hebrews chapter 10. I have something better. See, loss in this world means little when I possess an internal perspective of things. I wasn't looking at what I didn't have or what had been encroached upon. I was looking upon what God said I could have. Now, Lord, you know I'm down here at Bible College. Lord, you know that we're eating beans and bread. You know my wife works, I work, I go to school full time. I hardly have a thing. God, you know I'm doing this for you. Now, why would you let this happen to little old me? I can't believe it. I'm just going to tuck tail and run. I'm going back home. I give up. Oh, well, maybe it wasn't God's will that I go to Bible school. Is that what I do? Or do you get the broom and the Raid and you wash down the walls and you paint it and you scour it and you clean it? And I don't know that we scoured and cleaned so much ever in our entire marriage than we did that house after we got all the bugs out. Fight or flight? What's it going to be? You going to fight or you going to run? You going to flight or you going to fight? You got to make up your mind in the morning before the fight even comes, before you even get back home. I was driving down 75, didn't have any idea what the condition of my house was. I made the turn on the corner of the house and pulled up the driveway. Still didn't know. Not till I put the key in the door and opened up the door and walked in. but it was like that on my way. Something's happened already in your life that you don't even know about, but you got to make up your mind that when you get there, if the condition is the way it was, you're going to have to make up your mind to say, I'm not going to flight, I'm going to fight. I'm not running, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm just a little nut that refuses to be moved. I see a promise of the mighty oak of God, and I will have the promises because I got faith and I got patience. You see, you got to get the right perspective in life. The right perspective, ladies and gentlemen. The right perspective of life. What do we see? Is it half empty? Is it half full? Do we see the potential? Or always looking at the negative? Where is our sights set? You have control of that. You can control that. You see, Lot had a perspective of this world. When he and Abraham, their herds had grown to the point where they couldn't continue together. And Abraham said, choose for yourself which way you want to go. I'll go the other way. And Lot said, look at that valley over there called Sodom. That looks like the Garden of Eden. Whoo, I found my place. And he chose for himself the Garden of Eden. Is that right? Is that what the Bible says? Now, how is it that Lot saw Sodom as a Garden of Eden and God saw it as an ash heap? Because God saw it from an eternal perspective and Lot was looking at it through a temporal perspective. You've got to lift up your eyes. You've got to get a perspective that is God's perspective on life. You can't look at the flat tire and the busted water tank and all the problems you're having at home and get the molly grubs and let the thing take control of you, put you in depression, make you angry, kick up and beat up your kids, go and spend money and get drunk because things aren't going right. You got to have eternal perspective. You just say, wait a minute, this isn't a flight time, this is a fight time. And I have to fight through faith. So that's the question, is what is your perspective on life? The Bible says for us in Matthew chapter 6 to lay up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt. See, I want to live each day of my life laying my heart on the door entrance of glory. I want to lay my whole life, my energies down at heaven's doorstep. We've got to hold on today. We've got to not let go, church. We've got to get some real tenacity about our lives. All right, let me put it this way. Stop being wimpy. Come on now. Look at somebody and say, toughen up. Some people are so thin-skinned, if you sneeze hard around them, you cause them to bleed. Come on, you got to get some tough skin. You got to toughen up. Life is cruel. Life is hard. People are ugly. Things are tough. You're going to have problems. These are going to be roaches in your house. You're going to have mold grow. You're going to have all these kind of situations occur. But you've got to learn how to not let go. In other words, I've got to do the promises of God. I've got to do the will of God and I will receive the promises. Listen, at least for Christ's sake, do it. The devil refused to do it and fell. Adam refused to do it and fell. Jesus did it and opened up the door for all of us. Are we going to follow Adam, the first Adam? Are we going to follow Satan? Or are we going to follow the second Adam, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? If Jesus fulfilled it in every way, tempted like you and I, but yet without sin, gave us the Holy Ghost, gave us the power of God, that we could live this life. Church, come on, stop being wimpy. I can do this. We're going to make it. Don't know how. Don't know when. But while I'm waiting, let me get my top hat out, my cane, do a little salt shoot. Hey, devil, just want you to know I'm praising Jesus. I like that song this morning, Deborah. To God be the glory for the things He hath done. Has God done some things for you? Has God done a thing for you? Has God done something for you that you know, had it not been for God, you wouldn't even be here this morning? Well, if you do, you ought to give Him some praise in here. Come on, you ought to let Him know, God, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even be here this morning. Blessed be the name of God. Hey, Kanabosha, hallelujah. Wasn't for God, I wouldn't be here. You're looking at a miracle. Hey, there's your Jason. Just strut for me. Strut up and down there. Strut, just strut. Come on, strut. Yeah, that's right, strut. Walk down there and do some strut. Hey, strut, strut, strut. You're looking at a miracle. You're looking at a miracle. You're looking at a miracle. The doctor said he had cancer. The doctor said he ain't gonna make it. The doctor said he's gonna die. But guess what? God answered his prayer. And now he's in the ministry. Now he's strong in the Lord. Come on, strut, strut, strut. I'm a miracle in the making. Woo! Woo! Anybody in here a miracle? Once we're bound by drugs. Anybody in here bound by drugs, but now you're free? Let me see your hand. Stand up on your feet. If you were bound by drugs and now you're free. Come on, now I just want you to strut a little bit. Hey, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. Sit down. Anybody in here used to be bound by alcohol? Come on, stand up if you were bound by alcohol. Come on, get your dance on. Come on, get that strut on. Hey, I want you to see a miracle. Sit down. Anybody in here once was sick with cancers or tumors or some kind of disease and God healed your body? Come on, stand up. Stand up, stand up. Come on, begin to strut a little bit. Come on, begin to show out for God a little bit. Come on, begin to praise Him a little bit. I'm a miracle in the making. I'm a miracle, a modern day miracle in Jesus. Come on, everybody stand up real quick. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Find five people, give them a high five and say, I'm a miracle in the making. Woo! Now shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. You can be seated. I just needed to stretch some of you. Because I saw somebody nodding off. He ain't going to nod, not on my watch. You're not going to nod. I wake up. Don't make me come back there. You better stop it. Lord, I'm trying. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm almost done. Come on, almost done. Hebrews chapter 10. My Lord, look at verse 36. Oh, miracle in the making, man. I'm just a little nut that refuses to be moved. That's all. I'm just a little nut. Verse 36, for you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while. Everybody say a little while. He that shall come will come. And will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. That shouldn't have been in the Bible. That's going to mess me up here this morning. How many have ever read Habakkuk chapter 2 or Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 3 and 4? How many have ever read that scripture? If you haven't, let me read it for you. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. I say, speak, vision. Speak, promise. Come on, speak to me. Talk to me right now. See, there are things that are talking to you on the external, but there's somebody trying to talk to you on the internal. The promise has a mouth. The promise has a voice. The vision has a voice that wants to talk to you. You've got to listen to what the vision is saying. You've got to tune out those voices in the natural. Moms, you're good at this. I don't know how you do it. You got two or three babies at home, and you could go about your life talking on the phone, talking to your friends, talking to neighbors. Kids are going, Mom, 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 Mom. I'm standing there with you. I'm going, answer the kid. And you're saying, I don't even hear him. What do you mean you don't hear him? Shut him up. He's driving me nuts. That's an anointing to shut out the external. Come on, ladies. Every woman, you just need to put your hand on the shoulder next to a man and just pray for him. Say, receive that anointing. Woo! I'm telling you, it's a God-given thing, isn't it? It's crazy. And then the kids have to go to reverting to do another thing. Instead of saying, Mom, 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 my kids started calling my wife, Tina, 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 Tina. That didn't work. It was Pastor Tina, Pastor Tina. Man, it's an anointed gift. You got to learn how to tune out the voices of the natural and tune in to the voice of the vision. Let me continue to read it. Wait for it, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Now, Hebrews is talking about when he comes. Even though it tarries, when he comes. Listen, do not lose sight of the ultimate promise in your life. Amen. I may be dealing with a house full of roaches. I may be dealing with an empty pocketbook. I may be dealing with chemotherapy. I may be dealing with a broken marriage. I may be dealing with a rebellious teenager son or daughter. I may be dealing with depression, and I may be dealing with lots of stuff. But hey, my head lifts up and looks up, because my redemption draweth nigh. Someday, soon and very soon, Jesus Christ is going to split the eastern sky, and he who is promised of the Father will not tarry. I want you to know to keep your eyes on the prize. Jesus Christ is coming again. Hallelujah. All this little light, momentary, temporal affliction you're trying to put on me, devil, this is almost laughable. Do you realize my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you realize Jesus is coming for me? Do you realize soon and very soon I'm going to defy the law of gravity? I'm going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Do you realize, devil, that when you touch me, you touch him? And you know that he is my defender. He's my shield. He is my buckler. I'm not worried. Matter of fact, I think I'll sing a song. I think I'll sing myself happy. Why should I be discouraged? Listen, why should I be discouraged, man? You know where my future is? Hey, devil, guess what? I read the end of the book. I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell. Come on, come on. You know somebody said it. The next time the devil reminds you, reminds you of your past, look at him and remind him of his future. Come on. Look at somebody and say, I'm just a little nut holding on to my ground. There's a mighty yoke up inside of me this morning. Come on, you need to tell somebody. They say, why are you making everybody talk to everybody? Because you need to say it out of your mouth. And it's easier to say it in church than it is back home with all that unbelieving junk you got to deal with. So you might as well look at somebody this morning and say, there's a mighty yoke up inside this life. God's given me a promise. God's about to do a miracle in my life. I'm just a little nutty in your sight, but I'm about to become an oak. This is a great life, man. This is a great life. All right, all right, all right. All right. Okay, stop. Stop. Okay. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Now listen. Listen. You don't get anything else. Get this. The last verse, 38, says, for the just shall live how? By faith. Actually, in the Hebrew, or in the Greek rather, it says by his faith. So the just, say that's me, shall live by faith. We live and move and have our being in him. Now notice something, because this is powerful. Throughout the New Testament, mentioned three times, the just shall live by faith. Let everything be established by the mouths of two or three witnesses. When we have a doctrinal principle, a statement that's made in the Bible once, we ought to pay attention to it. If it's twice, we ought to really pay attention. If it's three times, it means that God says, now don't miss this. Now we also find it in the Old Testament. But I want you to understand something and see this real clearly this morning. Let's put a vision in our minds. Let's put a vision in our hearts about the just living by faith. The first mention in the book of Romans in the New Testament where the just shall live by faith is in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. I believe that's the scripture. Beyond that, though, we see it again in Galatians. And then finally here in the book of Hebrews. Now, it's significant that the Holy Spirit placed them strategically throughout the New Testament. Why? Because in the book of Romans, the Bible in the Romans teaches us this. Justification. Justification. You say, well, what is justification? Somebody say, well, a simplified definition is this. Just as if I've never sinned. So, justification. So now we see in Hebrews the admonition of verse 38, the just shall what? Live by faith. So we see in Romans, as it's mentioned in 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And the theme of the entire book of Romans is justification by faith. But then it's mentioned a second time in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. We understand in the book of Galatians that Paul was trying to write to the church and tell them not to live according to the law, but live according to the Spirit. For he's talking about as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen? And he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So we find out now in Galatians, the theme of that book is how we live. So now we find in Romans justification, the just in Romans, and Galatians we're finding shall live. How do I live? By the Spirit. So now the just shall live, and the book of Hebrews, I don't have to go there. You know the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it is called the faith chapter. We know that Hebrews chapter 10 and chapter 11, leading up to the great have faith in God. Have faith in God. Yeah. It was by faith Moses. It was by faith Abraham. It was by faith Noah. It was by faith all the great patriarchs obtained the promises of God. So we see now the writer of Hebrews understood the just shall live by faith, and the Holy Ghost strategically planted them to emphasize in Hebrews faith. So this is how it looks. If I can get it up on the screens, this is the way it ought to look. We ought to understand that Romans chapter 1:7, just, my justification. Galatians chapter 3, I know how to live by the Spirit, that Spirit-led life. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, faith, walking by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's what the Holy Ghost has inscribed through the writing of the New Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I today ought to fully embrace this concept. It is the kingdom of God. This is how we live. This is how we move. This is how we have our being. This is the kingdom of God. This is how we stand in the midst of trial. This is how we triumph. This is how we overcome tribulation. The just shall live by faith. You see, it's not just a statement. I've been justified through the blood of Jesus Christ, who was made a propitiation for my sin. Even though I sinned, he took my sin. He gave me his righteousness. I'm a just man today. I'm a righteous man today. I didn't do anything to receive it. God gave it to me. Do you understand? It was a free gift. And I don't live by the law. I don't live by religion. I don't live by expectation of man. I live by the Holy Spirit. I walk by the Spirit. I live by the Spirit. I operate in the fruits of the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And what? I have faith. Faith in God. So the just shall live by faith. Somebody shout hallelujah. They might think you're just a nut. But hold your ground. I see some branches sticking out of you. I see some leafy stuff growing out of your ears. I see some stuff moving and shaking and rumbling up inside of your life. God, like that nut that went in the ground, suddenly the casing has got to give way to something greater on the inside. God said, I've got something greater in the inside of you than that casing on the outside of you. And even though the devil's trying to resist it and hold it back, I don't care if it's concrete. I don't care if it's a building, if it's a foundation. When that root begins to take growth and move, it'll lift up concrete. It'll grow up a side and move a building. God said, I've got something inside of you that's about to come out of you. And nothing can stop it. Nothing can hold it back. It's going to accomplish its purpose. That's a good place to give God some glory and praise. Come on. Hallelujah. That's a good place to give Him some praise. Shout with me, the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. I got two best friends here today. Faith and patience. They're hanging out with me and I'm hanging out with them. They're in agreement with me. When I can't find nobody else to agree with me. When I can't find nobody else to believe with me, when I can't find nobody to say with me, you can make it, you can do this. There's something about tenacity. There's something about pushing through. My wife and I understand that. We have this character that says we push through. Doesn't matter how tired we are, we got a job to do, we're going to do it. Whether it kill us, bless God, we're going to do it. We're going to make it happen because we are of that character. It's not our character, but it's the character of Christ. And when God gets up in you like that, suddenly there's nothing you don't feel like you can do. There's no opposition that you believe can defeat you. You don't feel anybody can conquer you because you feel like you're more than a conqueror through Christ who loves you. You know, when you're made to feel like a spectacle, I just want to tell you, it's showtime, baby. I just want the devil to know today. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like this way, you know. Flick me with something, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to get my top hat out. I'm going to get my cane. I'm going to get my white gloves out. I'm going to get my tap shoes out. I'm going to begin to do a little hard shoe, soft shoe, the Watusi, whatever, man. I'm going to break it down. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to bless the Lord. Because I know my Redeemer liveth. I don't care if it's a lion. I don't care if it's poverty. I don't care if it's sickness. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if I'm up on the stage. Look out. You put me on the stage, devil? All right. Fine. I'm going to bless the Lord with all that is within me. Matter of fact, give me that song right now that says, I will bless the Lord forever. I'll bless His holy name. When you're up against the wall, you got to open up your mouth. Pick your Bible up. Come on, pick your Bible up. Stand up with me. Make your Bible your cane. Yeah, make it your cane. Make the helmet of salvation your top hat. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, forever. Come on, you're on a spectacle. God, the devil's trying to make a spectacle out of you. Come on, begin to worship Him. Sing it again. Oh, I will bless the Lord forever. I'll bless your holy name. Watch this, devil. Oh, I will bless the Lord forever. I'll bless your home. Go to the first part of that song. Jesus is here right now, and I want every person in this room to bow your head with me. I'm mad at the devil this morning. He's messing with God's property, and the Holy Ghost has got me stirred up. Because you know what? When He messes with you, He messes with me. Oh, no, no, no. We're together in this thing, man. We're one body. Come on, everybody say one body. That's right. If He messed with you, He's messed with Jesus. If He's messed with you, He's messed with me. So you today are in trouble. You today who have been made to be a spectacle. I want you to be encouraged. I've got enough faith to stand with you. I'll go right in the middle of that arena and fight them lions off with my bare hands if I have to. But you're not going down without a praise in your mouth. Come on, you're not going down without a praise in your mouth. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. Then I want you to lift your hands right where you are. Sing it out. Come on. Come on. Come on, sing, I will bless.
Yes, I will bless.
Lift your hands up. Come on, surrender to Jesus right now. Come on, sing it so we can hear you.
It's you.
There you go.
That I see.
Come on, you got to close your eyes and just concentrate on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Live with you in your house forever.
Come on, stop looking at the lion. Look at the Lion of Judah. Come on, lift up your eyes and see your redemption draw nigh. Come on, Jesus is coming right now. Come on, Jesus is coming right now.
Oh, will I be sure?
Father, we thank you this morning for the breakthrough. I already sense it. It's already done. Faith and patience are standing alongside of everyone that's standing in this room. And I'm believing, God, for the major victory breakthrough right now. Right now. We're not looking at the perspective of this world, but we got the eternal perspective. And we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
The prophet Haggai asked Israel, is it not time to build the house of the Lord?
Come on.
And you say it's not time. I say it is time. Haggai chapter 1 declares that it's time to build the house of God. Not this building. I thank God for it. This will be our 12th year in this building coming up in August. I bless the Lord for it. And it's going to be paid for by next August. Amen.
Yes.
I believe that. But I want you to look around. Let's look around at all the people. Look at all the people. That's the house of the Lord. You say it's not time to build the house? God says it is time. We need to reach people for Christ before it's too late. I don't want to leave anybody behind. I want nations to know that Jesus is their Savior and Lord. Let's together build this house. Here's how we're going to do it. We're going to give our tithe and our offering. We're going to set a record. Oh, you know what? The 12 people that wanted to know about Spring Seed, I'll meet with you over there in the corner on the right side. Amen. Yeah, should I ask them again? Okay, how many would like to know how well we did last Sunday? Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll make that decision after we count this morning's offering. No, I'm just teasing. Please be seated. Deborah, get ready. Go out with that song again, To God Be the Glory. You're making a check. Make it out to CNC. Your tithe and your offering. Don't forget your missions. We're going around the world preaching this gospel. I'm taking another group of pastors to Haiti in April. I'm heading to Uganda in July. I've just been invited to England to do a conference there in the fall. God's bringing us all across the world. We've got ministries that are reaching out.